Today on The Cool Kids, it is a massive episode. We have an incredibly special guest, but today we start with the MLS salaries. They have been released. We know what everybody's making. We are pocket watching and we're judging some of these sporting directors and GMs.
Bro, cut us a little check, will you? Some of these players. Maranchuk, you're making too much, bro. Send us some of it. And the player we are talking about that we actually interview, we teased it. We said it was the biggest name to ever appear on our show. And we mean it, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only. Captain America himself, Christian Pulisic, is on this show.
What?
Yeah, I know. He actually said yes. I think someone lied to him. And then after that, we talk about the five players that need to step up for the U.S. men's national team and a couple honorable mentions. I think you'll be surprised at who's playing right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the Cooligans, that's us.
The Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, sir.
I'm quite excited about it. But actually, one of my concerning moments was, what was it? Was it after game three? I don't remember if it was game three or game four, but J.R. Smith outside of Madison Square Garden. Did you see this clip?
I didn't see the clip, but I know he went to school in Newark, so I know some happened.
J.R. Smith.
He's from St. Benedict, bro.
He was like, yo, the Knicks fans outside MSG, right on what, 7th Avenue.
Did he tell people not to touch him? Was that it?
Well, no. So he goes to like the center where like everybody's outside.
The mess.
Side talk people and everybody. Yeah. And he's like, yo, let me go celebrate with the fans and the whole, everybody's happy about how the Knicks are playing. And they like attacked him,
mobbed
bro.
Them.
They
yeah,
mobbed
yeah,
him,
yeah.
bro. It was like, I'm like worried about J.R. Smith's safety.
Why would you go into that if you ain't ready for the, you know what I mean?
Knicks fans are a lot, bro. I mean, we all know that.
It's like saying like, all I did was cover myself with honey and punch a beehive. Why am I being stung?
We can't. We Knicks fans, we don't know how to act when it's like, when it's a Knick legend amongst us, especially when we're excited about everything.
Did you see that, what they did to that guy in the Indiana Pacers jersey like a couple of, year ago?
That wasn't great.
But that should be an example of like, oh, this is how they get down? So, and also they jump on, you know, the dude who's like, yo, Trae Young, suck my d-. You're like, yeah, and they mob him.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You think they're not going to mob you, J.R. Smith?
I mean, it's out of love. They're mobbing out of love. But the dude, I was like worried about, is this going to get like stampeded and stuff?
Grab his chain, do something.
No, bro.
Grab his watch.
Knicks fans wouldn't do that.
No, Knicks fans would 100% do that.
So, not to J.R. Smith. Maybe somebody
100%
else.
Would do that to J.R. Smith. So what are you talking about?
So, but it sort of reminded me of like the players. I mean, former players, they need to be aware. I mean, maybe other fan bases might be a little bit more calm. Like, I think we're sort of seeing Knicks fans be a little bit as aggro as maybe like Eagles fans. I think Knicks fans are less destructive. Eagles fans,
destroying the city. I mean, not yet. I mean,
we'll see what happens.
Listen,
in the finals.
If the Knicks win an NBA championship while the World Cup is happening. All of the people across the world who were a little afraid but decided to gut and bear it and make it here to this nation, they're going to look around what's happening Times Square and 7th Ave during a Knicks game, and they're going to look around and go, we should have stayed home. This is dystopian, bro.
Yeah,
cars are going to be flipped.
I don't know. It's
in fact, if you've always wanted an insurance job on your car, for game four, park it near Madison Square Garden.
Sure. That's it. You want to run a good scam?
Put on a ski mask, put on a balaclava, a shiesty, and flip your own car over. Go, guys, this one.
See? You know? And then you're going to run a political platform about New York is being destroyed by Zora Munda.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do the whole thing.
Do the whole thing.
Make money in every opportunity you can.
We already see the plan, bro.
Yeah. I can picture my mom out there with the old Hyundai trying to... Be like, look at this guy, Fleamy.
Yeah, well, who do you think they should play? The Cavs or the Pistons?
I don't care. Bring them.
I think
don't matter.
I think they have a better chance against the Cavs.
The Pistons have been a problem this season.
So we'll see how that goes.
But we ain't scared. Big cat at the top of the key. Dog.
I don't know. I don't care if it's Charles Oakley. I don't care if it's Allen Houston. Mm. Don't be hanging out outside. Let the fans celebrate.
Oakley would start swinging on people. Oakley don't care.
So. But it's awesome to see to have the Knicks successful this far.
Yeah,
I mean, I think right now they seem to be Knicks Thunder. I feel like those might be the two in the finals, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah. All right. Now here's also what I think is Josh Hart or Jalen Brunson needs to come on the show. They're big soccer fans. What are
they
we doing?
They are. Okay. I mean, look.
Unfortunately, Josh Hart is a Chelsea fan. Yeah.
Oh, Deuce McBride is a soccer
fan. Yeah. Okay. And who's the French dude? Sochon, I forget his name. How to pronounce his name. He's a big Arsenal fan. And apparently he's talking mad Josh
Look,
Hart.
We're only a couple blocks away from MSG.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's make it happen, bro.
All right, guys. Let's, one, flip my mom's car. and two, tell J.R. Smith to come on the show.
Imagine J.R. Smith flipping his mom's car. Like, right? Well, how fun would that be?
It would be, what? And if Shaq was there, it might be the most North. And Michael B. Jordan could play me in a movie about this.
That's what everybody says.
You know? We're twins, dude.
All right. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. We got a big one today. Holy smokes. We got a hot show. We got a lot of subjects in soccer to discover, to talk about, to explore. Really, a nice, sensible, calm, analysis of the beautiful game.
That's what we do on
this
show.
That's what we do on the show. So
now, do me a favor. If you're listening to this in your car, honk the horn if you believe us.
Okay, that's how you send a signal to the other Cooligans fans.
100%, dude.
But outside of all of that hardcore analysis that we will give,
we're analyzing hardcore.
Okay, but we have arguably the biggest guest we've ever had on the show today, the AC Milan winger midfielder. The man does it all. The USMNT, aka Captain America. Christian Pulisic is joining us on the Cooligans podcast. It's valid. Every button should be hit on the soundboard today.
100%. Dude.
How did the Cooligans get Christian Pulisic?
Is what Christian Pulisic said to his management team.
That is, we was bamboozled.
He was like, wait, what? When he clicked on the link.
When he clicked on the link, I was like, wait, who are these? No!
No.
It's too late.
Yeah. You're being recorded.
So we will be chatting with the man with the gluteal injury heard around the world.
Damn. This is how he injured it. He was making this sound with it.
I hope he's listening to this intro. I don't know. I hope so.
He's like, you know what? Let me cut the country music off for a second and listen to this interview.
So no, honored to chat with him. So that'll be our second segment. But first,
that's the sound. The eagle screech.
Today,
while you're making a clap, bro.
Let's start in Major League Soccer and the salary list. Has been revealed by the MLSPA, and some people are getting paid, and some people are getting paid too much.
Yeah. Lionel Messi's salary has just been revealed, and you will never guess how much he makes. I'll give you a hint. It's 2.5 Philadelphia Unions. Is this too much? Would MLS even do this deal again if it were available today? Also, wait till you hear how overpaid some of the other stars are.
This is the top topic.
There's a couple rough when you see how much people pay. I mean, it feels.
I'm like, yo, who's making these deals,
They got a couple lemons out there. I mean, look, some of the names Lionel Messi, $28 million dollars a year.
Let's contextualize that.
Yeah,
he's making $28.3 million dollars a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Contextualizes for a little bit. Let's say he plays all 90 minutes. He's a little bit older. He probably won't. But let's say Lionel Messi plays all 90 minutes available to Inter Miami in MLS. $28.3 million. That is, oh my God, that is $9,248 a minute.
That's a pretty good.
That's insane. Pretty
solid shift, you know, going to work.
I looked this up. If you go to Carfax.com, I don't know if you know this, you can look up like cars that have never gotten a reported accident or any damage and have only ever had one owner. You seem like, it's probably a good car, right? Just one owner took care of it. That is a 2018 used Ford Escape with just over 100,000 miles. He gets that every minute.
Man, his garage must be packed.
And he's like, where are all these? We made too many escapes. That's also, so it's $9,248 a minute. So for 90 minutes, this man, whether he plays or not, he is earning $832,353 a game.
Mm. Solid day.
Going what a work. Day, dude.
Hey, man. Look, if, you know, raise the minimum wage. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
You can't because he's got all the money.
But look, the Lionel Messi, he is getting paid a lot. But realistically, it's worth the money.
You think Jeff Bezos is watching this right now going, yo, that ain't
sure. I mean, hi, Jeff. If you're tuning in,
you're Latino, dude. We're cousins, basically.
It's when you hear how much money, especially the away teams, make at the gate from Lionel Messi matches and Inter Miami matches, that's 1,000,000% worth every penny that he is getting paid. So, and that is his like salary from Major League Soccer. But
they don't even touch Adidas. They don't touch Apple.
But that what you're talking about is what? But like Apple, that is like part of his deal as well. He gets a cut of the subscription. The whole thing.
Actually, no, not anymore because there are no more subscriptions.
I'm sure he gets Apple TV
subscriptions. No, he doesn't get Apple TV subscriptions.
You think just because there is no MLS season pass anymore, they're like, okay, that's done. You're not getting any more money.
They might have prorated it.
Yeah, he's not. You know, they're not going back on that deal. Because
he's like, I will go play for the Canadian Premier League tomorrow.
If you find me in the Curacao League, yeah, tomorrow, 100%, I'll be
the Cypriot. Top division with Memo Ochoa.
So, but we've heard some of from some people like from the business side of like how much money they make from Inter Miami away games, and it's like again collectively as a league they're more than happy to make sure that Lionel Messi is in the league because by Beckham and Jorge Mas doing all the effort to bring Messi into this league, yeah. Obviously every single person benefits.
Everybody making money off it.
Without a doubt. And you know, clubs, I think it was like the Chicago Fire in their game when he played at Soldier Field, they made like two seasons worth of ticket sales in that one game. And it's like, yeah. That's it. You do that. He can be in this. It doesn't care how long.
Does he want more? They're like, we'll give him more. Now I'm thinking like it's a good comic. You know, once you get to the level of comedy where you know you could sell out a room, you work out a door deal. He should have done a door deal, dog. He should have been like, yo, I want all the home and away ticket money.
Give me a little cut.
Yeah, you don't have to pay me, but I just want 80% of the door.
Sure. My cousin's going to work security at the front.
But. Yeah. Or I got my own guy for check people in. I also want a cut of the bar. If that's possible. You know Kansas City, be like, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Just Lionel Messi is just running Live Nation.
He's at the point now where it could be called Lionel Nation, bro.
Bro. Yo, those t-shirts, those Chicago Fire t-shirts you saw, I want a little bit of that.
Got my name on it. I want my cut. I'm not going to tell you to stop selling. No cease and desist.
You know the 50-50 scarves? Yeah. I need a certain percentage of that into Miami.
In fact, if you're doing a 50-50 raffle, it's now 25-75.
So, but there's a bunch of names on this list. I mean, look, obviously second is Heung-min Son, which is about 11 million. So not necessarily.
Look at the gap.
Shocking. I mean, it's big, but it's
$17 million gap is insane.
It's Lionel Messi. It also highlights.
In fact, the gap is more than Philadelphia Union's entire payroll.
Yes.
Which is around 11 million.
We'll get to the clubs in a
that
second.
Is
but look,
crazy.
Son Heung-min at number two. Rodrigo De Paul at three with nearly 9.7 million.
So on two players alone, Inter Miami are at $30 million in salary a year.
Right. Right. And that's the investment.
Well, I'm sorry, $40 million nearly. $37 million.
That's the investment.
That's insane.
The club,
dude.
You know, the owners have every right to make that investment. So good on them.
Where Jorge Mas getting this?
But this these numbers also that we're looking at. Look, three Rodrigo De Paul, four Lozano.
What you get past Chucky Lozano, now you're talking about your kind of standard DPs, right? Most DPs you assume like DPs that came from other countries, they tend to get 6, 5, 6, 7 million. So those are like numbers I'm comfortable with. I never thought I'd see $28 million for one person.
I mean,
Messi doesn't deserve it.
Insigne was getting like 14 or something like that, also kind of insane.
2X-ing, you know.
And that wasn't the best of decisions.
Lampard, I think, got like $7 million, right?
Yeah, I think, like Pirlo, Villa, Lampard, I think it was around seven, except between five, between, I think like four and seven.
Yeah.
But But like some of these names, Chucky Lozano, who is not playing, he is completely left off the team. Some of the numbers here, like these players would not get this kind of money anywhere else.
No, and that's the tax MLS has to pay, but that's also the benefit of coming to MLS. So both sides get it. If you can sell tickets, and that's why we put those names up, maybe Emil Forsberg is on the fringe of that. Maybe Miguel Amirón.
It feels like Rebel fans will not go for anybody. I don't know. They won't go. They just want the team to do well, but they're not gonna sell more tickets regardless of the start. I mean, they had Thierry Henry. He wasn't selling.
They had
every
Thierry
game.
Henry, Rafa Márquez, and they weren't really selling our game, but they are doing better than they are now. Miguel Amirón. Yeah. I don't think that's bringing back the 2018 fans to the. You know, maybe some. Sure. Like, oh, and then the team sucks, but. If you sell tickets, you can charge a lot more. Insigne didn't, but you would assume if the team had played well and you had these stars, you can connect with that Vaughan Italian community up there, and suddenly you can sell more tickets. Messi clearly sells tickets. Heung-min Son clearly sells tickets.
Right.
You're making, like, it's actually a good deal in a way. To pay $28 million to one person.
I 100% agree. I think it's worth every penny because the returns are remarkable. So for Inter Miami, for the league as a whole, you get it. The impact that that David Beckham had, and I remember going to Rebels games at Giant Stadium when Beckham first got into the league,
right?
And it was the stadium nearly packed.
That was early.
Sold out early on. Yeah. So that even that impact was phenomenal. But Messi's impact is
the MS effect is like maybe 3x what. I remember Beckham's effect being.
Exactly. So, but I think seeing the salary list this time around added a sort of new discourse. I was seeing this online where you see some of the names the money they're making. So we can keep going a few more. Josh Sargent, $5.2 million. And he gets paid more than Thomas Muller, which is, it's an interesting note.
How do you feel about that? I know you're a... huge.
I don't think it necessarily reflects their quality. Like Thomas Muller, I think if he was 10 years younger, he would get paid more than Josh Sargent. But also Thomas Muller getting 5.2 million is, where would he really get that anywhere else?
Is he getting a cut of the team or something? That seems low for Thomas Muller.
I mean, I don't think they necessarily are asking of him the same that they're asking of Lionel Messi, which is to obviously be more of a brand ambassador for the league, even though I think Thomas Muller does a fantastic job and probably a better job when it comes to, like, again, either speaking and talking to people, kind of expressing his personality and doing that stuff. I understand Thomas Muller speaks English and Lionel Messi does not, but Messi could do a bunch of cool stuff in Spanish if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
But he does not.
Also, Messi brings people. Doesn't you wouldn't be like, oh, he doesn't speak English. You'd be like, I don't care. I don't know what he said, but he said something to me.
God is speaking to me. I'm fine with that. But Alexi Maranchuk from Atlanta United at $5 million.
So what a deal.
The Discord, I had seen this question posted. Is like, you see some of the money being paid to some of these players, and then you sort of have to ask, like, what people are asking is like, is it actually a good idea to kind of open up the purse strings and let these teams, remove the salary cap, let these teams buy whoever they want to buy and bring in whoever they want to bring in? Because could it be a detriment to the league? Because some of these, like, GMs and sporting directors have made some pretty poor decisions and are kind of throwing millions of dollars of their owners' money kind of down the drain.
You think that Alexi Maranchuk making, what did he make?
$5.08 million,
basically $6 million.
I mean, look, the returns have not been great on that.
Of course not.
I like him. He's a great dude.
Miguel Amirón is making nearly $8 million. I don't know what his salary was at Newcastle, but I don't think it was that.
I don't think it was that either. Or at the very least, like, not, I mean, maybe when he first got there, but I don't know about now. I mean, there's just a couple names.
Choupo-Moting making 3.5 is crazy.
It's a bit crazy. Yeah, but it's like, and he's not even starting. There's a 17-year-old playing in his spot, and he can't get up. He can't get a starting position. I mean, there's They just Emmanuel Latin. I mean, we're picking on Atlanta United, but they pay, get
bro. Wilfred Zaha is only making 2.7. He gotta be. He gotta be. Could someone cut to him right now?
Yeah, we gotta talk to your agent,
yo,
bro.
He gotta be angry as hell right now. Why looking at this list?
So you gotta ask the. I think it's a valid question. Like, should I know we? You are definitely a big proponent of getting rid of the salary cap and just let them.
Yeah,
do their
luxury
thing.
Tax. Because clearly, if you're willing to spend dumb, go for it.
The risk, and I wonder if. If it's something with like you mentioned, like it's sort of an MLS tax where they are going to get kind of, you know, hit over the head because it's Major League Soccer. But I think it's a valid question of just like, are we ready to do that yet? When you see some of the decisions that some of the like GMs and sporting directors make.
Carter just let us know that they Miggy Amendola was making $4.2 million a year at Newcastle.
You see? You see?
Why you could have given him three. He would have taken it to go back.
So it's
to answer your question, I think directly, I mean, Tom Bogert kind of top and bottom spending teams on salary. I said top and bottom, everyone looked at me. Inter Miami spending a total of $54.6 million. You go, that's obviously the top. You go all the way to the bottom and you see Philadelphia Union. $11.7 million.
I mean, where are they on the table? If Philadelphia Union still last, they might be.
So if Heung-min's son could find a way to make another $500,000, he would make as much as the entirety of Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, it's I don't know if the maybe Philadelphia Union fans might disagree, or I don't know if they how much money they spend necessarily reflects how
I also
good
don't
the team
think
is
because the way MLS is set up. You don't have to spend more than everyone else to win, right?
Yeah.
You can still compete without doing that. Vancouver's a good example of that. But to suggest that there's two parts to the question you asked. And it's a great question, but like, all right, should we be worried about MLS owners being able to spend whatever they want? Because clearly they're like, you know, kids with keys. You know what I mean? Like the latchkey kids at home making themselves lunch. It's like, this is crazy. You can't put ice cream on a turkey sandwich. You know what I mean? Stop doing it. You're going ham. You're going to be sick, right? So part of me agrees with that. But also, that's part of making the right decisions is what sports is all about. You know what I mean? And if you as an owner start spending like crazy, I can't be worried about what happens to your money. You can spend your money however you want. And I get to laugh at you if you do it wrong. And I get to applaud you if you do it correctly. So if the owner of Atlanta United wants to spend like crazy on a team that is dog on the pitch, that's up to him. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I guess my question to you would be like, because you mentioned the owners and them spending their money. I don't necessarily assume the owners are very aware of the talent that is available around the world. I mean, they own so many other teams.
But that's your job to hire the right sporting director.
So it's like, are the sporting directors and GMs collectively, there are a lot of teams, right? The Premier League has 20 teams. We have 30. Now the talent pool of now, you know, people in the front office gets diluted quite a bit. Do we have enough acumen and knowledge to be spending money like this, right? Because if you assume that one of the best sporting directors in the world would be at Arsenal, at Man City, at Manchester United, right? These are the top tier. They bring in the most money. They're going to attract the most talent. They have the best connections with all the agents. So clearly, Major League Soccer, we are lower level. I don't know what division we're in necessarily, but then it becomes okay. The sporting directors, how much knowledge do they have? How much what are their relationships with other clubs that they can draw certain players? Like, we've been around people having like people involved in like either owners or ownership groups or people involved with clubs, like, and we hear the names that could potentially go to whatever club, and it's like, oh wow, that person could have been at so and so club in Major League Soccer. And you know, is it a good idea? Is it not? Like, it's interesting. Like, when you hear about the possibility of a player getting there, it's easy to sort of judge of like, we just think like, oh, it could probably work out. They came from the Premier League. Like, surely they'll be able to do it in Major League Soccer. And it's really not like always the case. Like, there's a different
philosophy. It's apples to oranges sometimes.
There's like a different philosophy. So
There is like a certain player that you can kind of figure out, like, oh, they'll work in MLS. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seems like sporting directors don't always know what that is.
Well, it seems like what has to happen when you see the amount of money being spent, as far as especially at the top tier, it looks like owners are like, okay, we just need a big name, and then we'll figure out the rest from there.
I also think there's something we're not considering, and when Will Koontz was here, he kind of alluded to it a little bit, which is, while a lot of names, a lot more names, and a lot bigger names than we thought are getting suggested to some of these GMs, you're kind of stuck in a place where you're like, all right, can we just pay this player to come in and play? Yes, but will they take to, you know, what it means to be the top paid guy on this team be a leader for the youth players?
Yeah, there's more traits needed.
Need more. So you're almost like diluting, you know, like it's no different than we were looking for what car he could buy every minute. You know, you're like, all right, these are the available cars that are under $9,248 right now. But then you're like, okay, here's one that's one owner. Here's one that's never been an accident. It went from like 30,000 cars to like 900 cars. So it's like your player pool is diluted, you know? And then you have situations like a Chucky Lozano, which is like, yeah, here, you can afford someone who's, you know, a great name and maybe help sell tickets to the Mexican community. And in that, especially with the World Cup coming up, that's also co-hosted by Mexico. And you're like, oh, this could all work. But then he comes in and something doesn't work out. You know what I mean? And now you're kind of stuck with this expensive asset that you aren't getting value out of.
Expensive is a very generous. I mean, it is an astronomical waste of $7 million.
Technically not, right? Because maybe some people bought the Lozano shirts. You know what I mean? And maybe in a way you kind of made some of your money back. But,
but
you're not getting.
We have Brad Sims on the show. They don't get. You know, if you sell San Diego FC shirts, the entire league gets it.
Making back all your money. What I'm saying is, you're not getting the full value you could have out of that money. Insigne and Bernadeschi are great examples of that as well.
I would say, I would credit the you know, owner and president of San Diego to trust Mikey Vargas to be like, hey, I know you're paying this dude $7 million, but it's not working. We can't have him back in the locker room with the rest of the guys. And them being like, wow, okay, we're going to trust our coach rather than causing a rift with the entire team. We're going to trust our coach and take a $7 million L.
Yeah, no, it's tough. But that doesn't, just them taking a $7 million L doesn't be like, oh my God, maybe we shouldn't let them spend their money. It's their money. Spend it. I think it's stupid to, the best example is, the worst example is probably Toronto, but the best example is probably Inter Miami of why we should. Because here's what happens.
There aren't many Messis in the world to throw around. Man.
If Messi's not on that team and they were able to spend whatever they wanted, let's say Messi didn't want to come to MLS, they would still have a team of big names. They would still be, they're clearly willing to spend money. And I don't think you generate the value of what you spend if you win MLS Cup. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine you're getting that much more sponsorship dollars. I can't imagine you're getting that much more money just for winning the league. Like, clearly you're spending money because you want to win. And if that's all fans want, then some of these owners are willing to do that. And then you got the Philadelphia Unions who are like, we ain't doing that. We would like to win, but more importantly, we would like to remain in the black. And if that's possible, we're going to do that. And at the end of the day, if you have owners like a Jorge Mas and a David Beckham that want to go out and say like, yo, we don't care. We want to spend all this money. Yo, why are we stopping them from doing that?
No, well, no one is stopping them from doing it.
No, Don Garber and the league are stopping them from doing that.
Well, yeah, well, more than three of those players.
It shouldn't have taken the league and Apple and Adidas to come together to figure out a way to get Lionel Messi here in 2020, he came in. It's ridiculous. If Lionel Messi wants to come to your league, he's got to be like, guess what, guys? Well, cap's over. Okay, by the way, Lionel Messi's signing. That's what it should have been. It's stupid to be like, oh, let me figure out all these machinations to make him pay. Just pay him, bro. I mean, and if his homies want to come,
they did it.
Bring him over.
They didn't need to figure out machinations from a league perspective to get him here. That was just literally like, I ain't going for less than 60 to 100 million. So you get hook me up with a sponsorship deal. Get me a few perks because just my salary from the league is not going to be enough. And that's Inter Miami's responsibility, not MLS.
The whole league is helping pay his salary.
Of course.
That's ridiculous.
It's a single entity. That's the system that exists. Yeah.
Sure. But this is insane that we had to get all of the owners together and go, hey, I know this is going to be... No other team, no other league, no other anything.
The owners are not mad that that is the case because they are seeing, they're reaping the benefits of it.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm certainly not suggesting that they're not. What I'm saying is I can't believe we're still at this point where you need a Zoom meeting to figure out whether you can afford Lionel Messi. If you got the money, if you got the ends, spend it.
Sure.
This is ridiculous.
All right. I mean, the money being thrown around is, it's at the very least, we're in a different place than we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It is pretty wild. So it is, yes, helping the league to some degree, but everybody's kind of still evolving around it. But
yeah. In 2015, when we started this podcast, we were shocked that people wanted to pay $100 million for a team.
Sure.
For a franchise, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And now they're like, I'll give that to a player.
The all-new 2026 Soccer Pick'em is here just in time for the world's biggest soccer tournament. Make picks each round, earn points, and climb the leaderboard. Play solo, create a private group with friends, join a public group to play with other fans, or even join our Cooligans group to see if you can beat us. Join at yahoofantasy.com/soccerpick'em.
I mean, when we talk about legends, this is literally what we're talking about. Current legend, future legend for the U.S. men's national team. I am honored. Usually when I talk to Christian, it's this guy. And I'm like, how to keep talking to this guy? But right now, we're about to talk to the one, the only. I mean, I can't believe AC Milan, U.S. men's national team zone, the one, the only, Christian Pulisic, everybody.
Christian, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. It's
crazy that you're thanking us. It's wild.
Look, you know, it's an honor to share the same name. Sometimes I hear a broadcast and I think they're talking about me. And we share the same initials and everything. So it's pretty cool that you're on our show. Christian, first thing I want to ask immediately is, we've had Tyler Adams was just on the other day. Weston was on the other day. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the upcoming World Cup. But from you and your perspective, we spoke to them. The pressure, the accountability, all these words that we never want to hear our parents say to us. What do you think about leading up to this World Cup, and how are you feeling dealing with not only the pressure of just playing on the pitch, but then also being a brand ambassador for different projects and all this other stuff? Like, there's a lot going on.
I mean, yeah, everyone loves to bring up all the pressure and tell me about the pressure. And I mean, I'm used to it. Like, I've lived like this for quite some time now. There's always pressure there, but for me, I just try to do my best to live in the moment. I wouldn't trade what I do for the world, so this is exactly where I want to be, and I just try to take it head on and enjoy every experience, do the best I can. That's all I can do at the end of the day, and I got a wonderful team and family behind me, and that's all that really matters.
I mean, you say that, but there's not even just a little bit of extra. You're playing in your home country, the 250th anniversary of the birth of said country, and you're about to be playing in the biggest soccer event in history in that country. That doesn't even just add a little bit more?
I mean, honestly, there's enough pressure as it is, no matter the situation. I mean, it's a World Cup. There's pressure. I don't need anything extra to add on top.
What does it feel like? And we can only speak to this as comedians. Like, well, we can do a show. We can, that maybe doesn't go well or whatever. But usually, people are not yelling at us on the internet for the next 3 days about it. the level of it's not even just pressure, but the amount of like scrutiny. Because I know it can be like annoying. Even us, we yell about you all the time, right? When we talk about certain matches and stuff like that. Just dealing with that, and is it something you can easily shrug off, or is it or can you have fun with it, or does it help or hurt or improve anything in your life or what happens on the pitch?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I shut out like 99% of any of that stuff that you guys probably hear. So I really, like, it really doesn't affect me all that much. It's not nice to hear bad things about yourself or being scrutinized. I mean, yeah, but like I said, I'm just grateful I'm in this position. This is exactly where I want to be. So you can criticize me, scrutinize me all you want. I love what I do, and I'm just going to keep pushing to be better. And when it's all said and done, you can look back and see what I've done in my career, and I hope that I can leave that with no regrets.
Okay.
That's a beautiful way to be. All right. I want to know about who's the real Christian Pulisic? Like, when you go home and you want to just chill and relax, I know in the past you've gamed a lot. I think you're playing a lot more sports, like golf and stuff on your own. What's on the Spotify, dog? Like, what do you hit play on that just lets you relax?
Lately it's mostly like country music. That's kind of my thing.
Our favorite. Christian,
we're two dudes from the hood, so yeah. You missed us with that one, but okay, you like country music. Okay.
I mean, you said what brings me peace and what lets me settle. I mean, that, yeah, like before a game, I'll bump some Drake or whatever, like I'll get pumped up, but like
that's the hype up music.
Got yeah, okay. Like I'll, you know, but yeah, if I'm just chilling, that's kind of my vibe that I'm on, to be honest.
Okay, I mean, like you do that. Country, I do Chief Keef. You know, we're not here to judge each
other.
That's
his relaxation music. That, okay,
That's what I go to sleep to.
Let's talk about the Michelob Ultra partnership that you have. The partnership you have looks pretty cool. In fact, you're working with some really big names, and you're working with Lionel Messi. What's it like to work with these MLS players? Do they look up to you?
That's a good question. So obviously there's, you know, they do their bit of movie magic. I'm not necessarily spending a lot of time all those guys, but I was able to spend a lot of time with my US soccer teammates, during this particular campaign, this ad, and, we had a great time. It's a really exciting competitive little game between, kind of the US soccer and Argentina. It's a really fun commercial. It's fun to be a part of. And I'm looking forward to kind of seeing the final, you know, edits of all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been just even in the last like year, it's like generally fun. You know, you see, like, I mean, Messi comes up in lots of different advertisements for lots of different companies and stuff like that. But then, you know, you're also regularly on TV. You are a household name. You know, even I think a lot of people who don't even know much about soccer or don't know much about soccer in the United States, they know Christian Pulisic. And, you know, about the excitement how are you feeling about the fact that, you know, during these games, your face is going to be on every water break. The 3-minute water break, there's going to be a Christian Pulisic commercial airing as well. Like, those conversations come up with you, maybe your family, about like the publicity and the notoriety that comes with being Christian Pulisic and during a World Cup?
Yeah, I would say mostly my brother. My brother is he's really into all that kind of stuff, collecting different stuff. Like, if I'm on a Michelob case, like, he's sending it to me. He's like, oh, don't worry, I got an extra one, I've saved it. Like, that's my brother Chase. He's super into that kind of stuff. And then also my mom at times will collect stuff like that and just keep it around the house. They think it's cool, but it's not something we really chat about much. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a bit weird kind of seeing yourself on all the commercials and different things sometimes.
I'm not going to lie to you. If I was on a bunch of commercials every few minutes, my sister would move to China. She's like, I can't take this. And your brother collects your stuff. That's a really cool family, man.
Yeah, he's my biggest supporter.
All right.
That's awesome.
Getting back to some footy stuff, I'm curious about just your time now, right? I mean, I know all the stuff we see online is the criticism of, like, you know, it's been a while since you scored for the U.S. It's been a while since you scored for AC Milan and all those things. But I'm curious about this time in your career right now. And if you reflect on it a little bit and you think about all the coaches you've had and kind of just where you are now, has there ever been a moment where a coach criticized you for something or gave you advice on something that you didn't agree on at first? And then we're like, oh, man, that actually helped me a lot. And, you know, now you look at it positively.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been times for sure. You want like an example?
Yeah. We'd love one.
I guess looking back with an example with Greg Berhalter, for example, he was hard on me in saying that I wasn't training with the same intensity as I was playing games, and potentially that was causing me some issues and injuries and different things. And I really didn't want to hear it at the time, and I was just kind of like, shut up, you know, like how we are at times and in my head. And but I think I like thought about that more and really tried to put work in that and change and make an effort to change the way I train and the way I prepare. And it made a big difference in my career. So I would, that's just like one example of that.
Okay. All right.
That's a great example. What I'm interested in, I know we have to let you go, but I'm interested that in, you know, just, you've played for some massive clubs, right? You've played for Chelsea at AC Milan. You've obviously had this great run with the US Men's National Team so far. Who's the person across the pitch or maybe that walked across your training ground or something that you've been absolutely awestruck, like a legend or someone that you watched growing up? Is there anyone that immediately like made you sort of do a double take?
Oof. I mean, definitely in Milan, they've definitely had some former legends kind of be around and at games and at the training ground that I've seen. Like a Pirlo, like a Pato, like some of these guys that walk around. I followed, I wasn't like a huge fan, but I definitely followed kind of some of the legendary teams that Milan used to have back in the day. So to see some of those guys and know that you're kind of, you know, a part of the same club and history that those guys were a part of, it's definitely special to see them.
Yeah, I mean, just the last thing, your teammate Santi Jimenez was on our show about a month or two ago, and we had asked him about the demands of AC Milan fans that second place is not enough. Your experience now so far, because you've also gotten a lot of love, I think, from AC Milan fans, which must feel pretty awesome. But the you know, I don't want to use the word pressure because we hear that a lot, but the demands of that fan base, can you speak to that? Is it like anything else you've ever experienced at any other club?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely demands. It's a big club and they want to win, and so do we. And we get that, and we know what it means to represent this, you know, this team and the history that it comes with. And just being okay is not good enough. You know, we have to be the best. We demand that of ourselves. And, you know, we've had a good season and good moments and then going through a little rougher patch. And but that's not to say that the fans don't support us all the way through. I mean, even after losses and tough games, and they're there, they're cheering, they're supporting, and we're grateful for that. But it's definitely a club where, they expect the best.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my last question for you is one word you have to answer. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Does he text? Does he call? Or does he FaceTime?
We've texted, I'd say, the most.
Okay. All right.
He feels like a FaceTimer to me. I don't know why.
I mean, maybe if you get a little closer to him, I don't know, but it's not like we're calling every single day.
Right. Christian, you've challenged me. Now I need to become closer with Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
The image of Zlatan texting, he seems above it. I don't know. Maybe he seems like more of a voice note guy.
Or he cracked the glass with his thumbs, bro. He's a black belt. You know what I mean?
Right. Christian, we're excited to see you, obviously, in this summer in the World Cup, and also in this campaign with Michelob Ultra. I know it's gonna be really cool. I know we're gonna see it every few minutes on TV. So it's dope to have that kind of representation for a USMNT player, and then an American soccer icon, to say the least. So Christian Pulisic, thank you so much for joining us on the Cooligans. It's been an absolute honor, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Christian Pulisic is not at 100%. Johnny Cardoso is confirmed out, and he needs surgery on his ankle. This World Cup is at home, and the USMNT, as currently constructed, cannot win this World Cup unless these five players show up. And we are naming every single one of them today. Let's start. We're all, in a place. There's a little bit of worry. A little bit of concern, but first name,
this guy we have to define what we mean by step up.
Right? Step up, show up.
Yeah.
Do just show us something that you haven't shown us in roughly like a year.
That means consistently playing.
Giovanni Reyna.
Bro, this is the most frustrating name to put on here because we all know. We've seen it. We know what the ceiling looks like, but homie in the basement right now. And I need a little bit of, just give me something to believe in when it comes to Gio Reyna. You know what I mean?
36 appearances for the U.S., 9 goals, 6 assists, and it's pretty good numbers for a player who has not, who dealt with some injury, has
the last year, controversy,
have every reason to kind of fold. Yeah. But the real issue, you know, not really finding a home that kind of works. He's currently at Borussia Mönchengladbach. He is not playing. He is basically not in the plans of the coach. The coach essentially plays in a style that has no 10. So there's no real room for Reyna. He gets very little minutes and on a bad team. And it didn't work at Dortmund. There were concerns about
it. Didn't work at Forest.
It didn't work. A billion percent didn't work at Forest. So it just...
Which, again, I called. Remember that? It's pretty crazy.
I think he should... I mean, we've had these conversations a bunch, but like maybe Serie A is a good place for him.
I think figuring out where he belongs on a club is probably the most frustrating, right? Because you're like, you have so much talent. You have this like flash of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
You have these moments where you do things that no one else on the U.S. men's national team can do. And why can't you find a way to do it more consistently? But there's a belief in me that maybe he's the James Rodriguez of America. You know what I mean? Maybe when he puts on the U.S. men's national team shirt, if he's given a chance, he can shine. And I know there's people and friends of mine will text me because every time I do this, they're like, oh, you just want to cuddle, right? You want to cuddle all the, God forbid, all the players, everyone's, you're all great.
Cuddle cuddle?
I think cuddle. I guess cuddle is probably right. Being
clear. Everybody's like, I just want to see you
I want a spoon.
I want to see you hugging.
I want a spoon. I want a big backpack, little backpack.
Okay, just you and Tim Ream embracing.
You know? But yeah, fine, cuddle. But you want to protect these players so much. You want them to be, you want to give them every opportunity. You keep them giving them too many chances. And at the end of the day, it's like not all of them get that many chances, but there's something about Gio Reyna where I'm going to keep giving him chances.
Yeah, but there's also, what's the expectation? I mean, we're not talk sport. We're not going to just be screaming at these players. We're like, see them around.
Damn, master, what you saying about that, dog?
Bro, they know what they do. I'm not into the yelling necessarily, but there's a lot of people
talk
who
are. Talk sport gets crazy.
Talk sport gets crazy.
Like, are there too many minorities in the sport? We'll be back after these commercials. You're like, what? Okay. I didn't even know you had commercials out there.
And then the commercials, Nigel Farage.
Dunking milkshakes. As he's talking.
It's interesting because, like, you know, we interviewed Gio Reyna when we were at Dortmund, and he's a delightful young man. He's polite, funny, like, whatever.
He got our accent. It's crazy.
So, screaming, like, we try to go in with the most amount of charitability, except it, for me, if you're Josh Sargent, I just cannot be charitable.
Draw the line.
I draw the line.
But to me, there's magic that this player has, and he's still young. So if there's a chance that he uses this as a breakout, and then maybe that helps him find a club spot, you know what I mean? I'm happy, and I feel like it can happen.
Okay.
But he needs to step up. Who else needs to step up?
New York City FC goalkeeper, Matt Freeze. This is an interesting situation right now with goalkeeper because Matt Turner has looked pretty good the last like 2 months for the New England Revolution. But a lot of really, really big saves.
Yes. I wouldn't be shocked if either one of these guys are the starters, but Matt Freeze seems to have been handed the number one spot.
Yeah.
And to me, he needs to step up. He needs to put himself in a position where he's undeniable. And we were just at an event with Tim Howard last night and hearing about the 16 saves and, you know, all of that. It's like, do we have a guy that can do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I look at these two that we have here, Matt Turner and Matt Freeze. It looks like for the most part, Matt Turner's kind of winning the tail of the tape, if you will.
Yeah, kind of like this season, NYCFC didn't have the best of... they had a good start, and then just a bad... This is a bad time for Matt Freeze to like be giving up goals.
So it's not, like they're a win, a loss, a win, a loss, a win, a loss. It's back and forth with New York City FC. But the thing about it is the last time I saw Matt Turner play, for the men's national team, he didn't leave me with a ton of confidence.
I would say Matt Turner left me with less confidence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Matt Turner.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I meant Matt Turner. Last time I saw Matt Turner, I didn't walk away thinking like, yo, he's made this. It felt like an opportunity for him to make it his spot, and he did not do that. So it really is a sort of a coin flip for Mauricio Pochettino as to who he thinks. And maybe we'll see that in the send-off matches. Maybe possibly sure. We might even see both and then let him make a decision. But to me, Matt Freeze, if you are the number one, if you sort of bring back the vibes that you gave us a year ago, it's going to be because you step up in the first two matches of these World Cup. And then as a U.S. national team fan, I'm very comfortable and I'm familiar with having a goalkeeper that is unbreakable. You know what I mean? Just a brick wall. I kind of need to see that again, man.
Yeah, it's just the confidence in kind of it seems like Matt Turner maybe is like a little bit more confident because he has looked really sharp these last few weeks. But I still think Matt Freeze is going to be the one. I like Tim Howard also did talk about that. He was kind of annoyed that they gave Matt Turner that spot in the Belgium game.
Yeah, he was very critical of what it might mean for Matt Freeze or what it
not even
to
about
Matt
that,
Freeze.
But about compared to Pochettino, it's like as from Pochettino's perspective, like why make that decision when like there aren't a lot of games. Like if Freeze is your one and he's gotten a lot of opportunities, why throw in this curveball of like bringing in another keeper?
Yeah.
when it seems like this is your guy. Like it's not a good idea for Matt Freeze's confidence per se, but again, I don't think Turner had a great showing in that friendly against Belgium. So, I still think Freeze is the one. But
how about this name? Because I think this is going to surprise some people that we're suggesting that this person has to step up. Frankly, everybody's going to step up to World Cup. But this player seems like they've turned a corner.
Sure.
Falero and Balogun.
Which I would say they have to turn up, but they're kind of stepping up, right?
That's what I mean. He's kind of turned a corner. Like, I feel like, I'm comfortable with this player now in a way where that hype that I felt when, everybody was putting American flags in all of his comments and he was getting a trip to Orlando or wherever he was. We were all like, oh my God, this might be happening. The player that I'd hoped, I'm starting to see the signs of that. He's playing really well at Monaco. He's looking good in Champions League. He's looked good in the last few national team shirts. We see him here. He's had 42 appearances, 13 goals and 4 assists, which a lot of that time wasn't great. But now I'm like, bro, this is without a doubt the number one. 1A, really close and peppy for me still.
Sure.
But number one for sure, Falero and Balogun.
Yeah, it's great to see a little bit more, I don't know, what certainty or just that kind of like being decided, especially when the striker position was, we ad nauseum we've been speaking about like who's supposed to be up there. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the Ligue 1's top scorers and Balogun is at 4 with 13 goals, which is pretty impressive.
Who's at 3?
Number 3 is
don't say.
I don't know. I don't think he would want me speaking.
Redacted.
Balogun, not only does he need to step up, but I very much think he's well. I think I'm going into this World Cup being like, I think he will probably I still think Weston McKennie might end up being our best player, but I think Falero and Balogun might be second.
Wait, where's your confidence meter on Falero and Balogun?
My confidence meter?
On a scale of 1 to 10, let's say 10 being the absolute most confident with this player.
10. Yeah.
I'm at 8. Okay. Because I want to see when the lights are really on.
Sure.
The pressure's really on.
We shall see how
he connect, with the national team.
Next up, another player that has to step up. We just spoke to, like 2-3 weeks ago? But Tyler Adams. Tyler, he recently spoke about how difficult it was being injured in the last window and not being able to, even in the losses, he's like, I want to be with the team. But he is going to be just an incredibly important player. And if he can get to not even just the form, but again, I think he will probably be the captain. I think he will be starting in that first game.
Without a doubt. If he's healthy and in form, if he's healthy, he's starting. But to me, it's like, can he stay healthy? Because the team plays so differently with him in it than without him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple games left. I imagine Bournemouth are going to take it a little easy once they know, there's 2 games left.
Yeah.
And so I'm not too worried. So I'm not worried about the health right now, but just his confidence, his form, and just he hasn't been with the team in a little while. and will it take him some time to get like acclimated or readjusted and something? I'm not necessarily worried about that, but for the success of the team, and if there's any, you know, even delusional possibility of the United States winning the World Cup, Tyler Adams has to absolutely step up.
Okay, this last name, I think a lot of us might have forgotten he's on the team, but he definitely needs to step up. And, you know, we talked about how Tyler Adams, when he's in the squad, the team plays so different. It unlocks a lot. I think so much is unlocked, in particular, the whole entire right side, especially in the attack. When this gentleman is in, Sergiño Dest.
Yes.
What a name that, to me, needs to prove to all the U.S. men's national team fans that he's still that guy.
Look, he got injured, but here injured was a hamstring a couple of months ago. He just started playing again, which is great to see. I think he has to be there, and he has to be like sharp and in good form. And like you said, like is he? I wouldn't necessarily consider him a defensive liability, but I would say we are a better defensive team with him on the pitch because we can have the ball. We can maintain some possession. I think the other options are better defenders. But when it comes to maintaining control and building out of the back, having Sergiño Dest there makes the rest of the team so much more offensively, like confident and confident in their possession, and him either doing either overlapping runs or cutting into the left. Like, I mean, he's effectively as like dangerous as a winger if he is up top there, and he's such a good dribbler,
especially
like,
with the overload.
Yeah,
my issue is, well, how surprised would you be to see Antonio Freeman start over him? Not Antonio,
Alex Freeman.
Yeah, Alex Freeman. I'm like, how surprised would you be what if Tupac's hologram is starting in place of? No, what if
Alex Megatron is it plays out right
what
back?
What if it's just like Mauricio Pochettino in a furry outfit playing right back? No, what would you do if Alex Freeman is starting?
That would simply tell me that Mauricio Pochettino is more concerned about defensive liabilities, not really prioritizing the attack, and more prioritizing defending. Maybe there's a winger that Sergiño Dest doesn't think he would be too good at in defending and wants to lock him down.
The reason I ask that is I'm a little worried about how much confidence, because of how different the team has to defend and how versatile Sergiño Dest is, but he does venture very far forward. Without having seen a lot of that, without having been able to sort of manage the team in a way where, you know, I can understand what's happening now. He's such a unique player to our system that I'm a little worried. Maybe Mauricio Pochettino doesn't have all that confidence in him. Maybe Mauricio Pochettino is a little unsure. It's like, there's too much going on. Like, I've seen the team under Alex Freeman.
The safe bet.
Yeah. And part of me wonders if maybe we don't see Sergiño Dest as much. So the reason why I like the fact that he's on this list, because I think given the opportunity, he absolutely has to step up.
I say Pochettino cannot manage this team with any fear at all. Trust every single player there. If they're at the World Cup, if you're calling them in because you believe that if they are on the pitch that they can do their job and help the team. Sergiño Dest, yes, he hasn't been injured. He probably will not be the sharpest, but do I think the team plays better with him there, especially going forward? Jedi Robinson and Dest, two players, especially on the left, I'm way more comfortable as a defender. I love Anthony Robinson there.
Yeah, Anthony's great.
But both of them going forward are such huge threats. I mean, I wish Sergiño Dest was a better crosser of the ball, but I think
but he's great at going at the defender.
But Jedi Robinson is, how many assists did he have in the Premier League? Almost 10 or something.
That worries me about Sergiño Dest was that red card against Mexico. It came out of nowhere, bro. If they were able to get under his skin that easily,
sure,
you can't do it in a World Cup. Cannot do that in a World Cup.
That's obvious. I mean, we can't do it at Copa America with Tim Weah. No. You can't do it.
You know what though? Maybe he hasn't heard it yet. Hey, you can't do that at a World Cup if you're watching.
It's weird that nobody's told you yet.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the email got lost. You know what I mean?
that's what we're here for. You know how like voice notes disappear? Maybe that's what it is.
Dude, I can't stand it. Why do I have to hit click keep?
So, man, there's a couple quick honorable mentions that we just wanted because it was difficult making.
You already mentioned Jedi Robinson.
I did. Yeah. So Jedi Robinson is one. And then we also and Chris Richards. I don't know if we're putting up their pictures, but whatever. But Chris Richards and Anthony Robinson, two players that I think are also going to be incredibly important. I think I would say Chris Richards is in a, even right now in his season, right? They just played Manchester City yesterday and got clobbered. But it very much, you know, like Crystal Palace, their focus is not the Premier League. They're in the Europa League, Conference League or Europa League final?
Europa.
I think conference.
Oh, they got Crystal Palace?
Crystal Palace, right? Am I crazy?
They are. They are in a final.
Conference League. Please, someone confirm.
Conference.
Yes, they're in Conference League. So their focus and their priority, I think, is that. So the Premier League is not going to, you know, literally not their most important tournament that they're in right now. So I think that's going to, you know, I'm not going to take these last two games, be too critical of Chris Richards then, but he's going to be in a very, very important piece when it comes to just our defense. I mean, he's our best defender.
Yeah, there's almost no name we couldn't put on this list that doesn't have to step up. Everyone has to step up. But I think Chris Richards has provided us with a lot of confidence because he's really positioned himself as the best defender on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a few years ago, we wouldn't be saying that, but we could see the inkling of it. And when he started getting minutes at defensive midfielder at Crystal Palace, we're like, all right, he's getting on the pitch. This is good. You know, this is pretty good. And then all of a sudden, he becomes their best center back. So I'm like, okay, good. All right. So now if you could bring that form, Jedi Robinson, do exactly what you do in the Premier League. Just do it here, Papa.
Exactly. Piece of cake.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, let's wrap up right there. Shout out to Christian Pulisic for joining us on the show. Brave decision end. Even though, you know, they were quite clear. They're like, please don't bring up this.
Yeah.
But we still had as much fun as we possibly could. So, but credit to them. Shout out to Michelob Ultra and the whole team. Going into this World Cup, that for us to have, not just we have U.S. men's national team players, but to have high profile players coming through, a podcast that started in your kitchen.
Crazy.
It's pretty wild. So
that's wild. I never thought sitting in my kitchen while you were speaking into a boom mic and I was talking into a cardioid mic that I won off points from a job I got fired from, that we would be now talking to players that are about to play in the World Cup and, play meaningful minutes for the U.S. men's national team. So it's an honor to have him on. Christian, thank you so much for being on. Come back.
Yeah, come back. Whatever. Let's chat it up again.
Let's go.
So as always.
And for those people listening wondering, hey, why don't you bring up, there's a reason. Because we want him back on the show.
Okay. Well, you got to play the game sometimes for the World Cup.
Sometimes you got to just show the highlights and cut out the bloopers, you know?
You know, the boings and
you gotta cut that out, you know.
but next time, you know, that'll be on Patreon someday.
We'll tell that story. So, join the Patreon, we'll tell you exactly.
Join
what
the patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join us over there. We do extra weekly pod, an extra at the end of the podcast that we record. So you can check those out. Those are always really, really fun. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. Make sure you follow us everywhere on all socials. We got a lot of fun news coming soon as well, especially leading up to this World Cup. So stay locked in.
Stay tuned to our socials. Hit the bell button if you're watching if you're not even watching on YouTube, go to YouTube right now. Make sure you hit subscribe and hit that bell button because you're gonna want to hear about some of these stuff that
we're gonna be doing a lot of fun stuff. And then stay obviously locked into the show. Us Yahoo, we're all gonna be doing a lot of really cool things throughout the World Cup, and we're super, super proud of it. And so it's gonna be an exciting time, a busy time. Will we sleep? No, we will not.
Who cares, bro?
we'll sleep, you know, after the World Cup is over. We'll figure it out later.
What did Nas say? Sleep is the cousin of death.
Did he say that? I don't know. You're asking me. Did he?
He did. That's kind of how you start that sentence. You don't just say, Nas once said.
I think that's fine. You can quote Nas. Feel free.
he did say it.
Okay. I don't know.
So we don't need it, is what I'm saying.
Was that Cardi B? I don't know if you said it. But, all right. All right.
I think Zoran Mamdani said it when he was rapping.
We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. And we got another special guest then as well. I think we do. I don't remember. But go check that out as well. Take care, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. I hope all your teams lose. Peace.
Love you guys.